Welcome to 2018. Come on, give yourself a hand. We're here. This year has so much potential, and it starts today. You know, you may not feel like it. I'm not quite all there today. But you know what? Today is all we have. Yesterday has gone. Tomorrow is not yet. Today is our potential, right? You know, over the last few years, we always have a theme for every year. You know, last year, the theme was, "See, I do a new thing," from Isaiah 43. Now, do you think you did a new thing this past year? All the moving and all the things. I mean, you go back to 2016, we said making the most of every opportunity. Ephesians 5, 6, 2015, "For we walk not by faith, but we walk by faith, not by sight." 2 Corinthians 5, 7, 2014, "Make us one as you are one." Remember that? All those good themes. So again, I just always look for a scripture for us to carry through the year with us. And as Dan and I were away in our little time, we just pray, say, "Lord, what is it that you have on your heart for us this year?" And so the one he laid on us this year, not this one, the one he wants us to have, "We will reap a harvest if we don't give up." Amen. Galatians 6, 9 was the word he put on my heart that says, "Look, do not grow weary in well-doing. For in due time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up." You know what he said to me in my heart? He said, "Look, this is a year of perseverance." You know, faith is not a sprint. The Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a long-distance race. And Paul said, it's not those who begin faith, it's those who end with faith that win the crown. And it's not where we end, it's that we end. It's not that we're trying to outrun each other, it's that we're all trying to get to the end of the race. So this is the year of perseverance. So throughout the year, we're going to be looking at this scripture and others and just working with you and me on how to persevere, how to keep going, how to find that joy even in the struggle. So I said, "Lord, where do we want to start this year?" And I love this scripture here from 1 Timothy 6:12. It says, "Fight the good fight of faith." And I really want to talk about this month, over the next few weeks, about how we can fight this good fight of faith. It's part of this persevering. And I actually want to teach you a new word today. I think I created it sort of. Because it's sort of a word, but I don't like the definition that's in the dictionary. But this word exists. It's called fleedom. Fleedom. Not freedom, but fleedom. Come on, say it with me. Fleedom. It turns out that fleedom is the freedom you have when you flee those things that grab a hold to you. You know, we think we want freedom, but I'm realizing we can't have freedom until we have fleedom. Till there's certain things that we say, "I'm no longer going to be held back by these things any longer. I'm going to have fleedom. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to walk away. I'm going to flee from those things that hold me back." And in fact, today, if you turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6, the Apostle Paul, the great man of God, the great minister, the veteran minister, is talking to the young minister, Timothy. And he wants to encourage him. This is the 1 and 2 Timothy are some of Paul's writings he wrote when Timothy's ministering in Ephesus. This is his fourth missionary journey. Paul has been around a while. And so he understands what you and I will have to face. And so when he says this in 1 Timothy 6:12, he says, "Fight the good fight of faith." He starts out by helping us understand that you have to flee some things before you can pursue others. In other words, we all have to seek some freedom in our lives before we can have freedom to follow him. So today I'm talking about a little bit of the negative side. Paul says, "Flee these things." And I want to talk about what things, three things he talks about in this passage that I think every one of us in this room will have to deal with in our own spirit in certain ways. Lord God, I just give you this morning, in our weakness here today, we come Lord, but we're not weak in you. You promised us, Lord, if we gather together, where even two or more gathered, you are there, and if you are there, there's nothing that can stand against us if you're there. So we know you're here today. And so, Lord, I pray as we go this to your holy word, most important word there is on this in this world. We believe this word of God is the authority of God, the very power of God given to us. It is holy, and it is worth our study. But Lord, we are so stubborn, and we are so lost. Sometimes it's very hard for us to grasp it. So I pray this morning, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to interpret it. You said that the Holy Spirit would lead us into all truth, and we need the Holy Spirit to interpret these words to us today. And Lord, I don't know where each of these other people in the room are, but I know where my heart is and the things that I need to work on. Lord, teach me to flee these things and pursue those things that glorify you. Lord, I pray the words of my mouth would not be my words, Father, but your word spoken through me, that each of us here may receive the exact message that you would have us to receive personally. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to begin with just verse 11a, just the little piece right before. And really, I decided that the best way to describe this is that first, before you can fight, you have to contend with yourself. Fighting the good fight really means contending with yourself, with the issues in our lives. And notice he says here in verse 11, he says, "But you, man of God, flee from all this." Paul says, you need some freedom. You need to flee from all this. And I said, well, what's the all this? Well, you got to go back before this. Paul explains what I consider three things, three major issues that we have to have. Now, I love what he says here. He says, you, man of God. Are you a child of God? Have you asked Jesus Christ into your life, into your heart? What does that make you? A Christian, a child of God, a daughter, a son of God, right? You are, aren't you? So here Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, brother, you might be young in the ministry, but you are a man of God. Therefore, you have to accept who you are. We have to receive it. We have to accept our call as a person that represents Christ and what that means. He said, but you, man of God, I want you to flee from all this. The word flee there, fuego, I know in Spanish that stands for what? Fire, right. But in the Greek, fuego means to fight off. It means to run and to go to safety. It means to resist. It means to battle with. Reminds me of Genesis 39. You know who I'm thinking about. Who's the guy who ran away and got out of trouble? Right. And Joseph, remember, it says, she caught him by the cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and what? Ran out of the house. He practiced freedom. He fled from that which was binding him and found freedom in fleeing. You know, sometimes the best fight you can do is to leave. Sometimes the best fight you can do is to say, look, I will no longer be held onto by these ideas and these people. In fact, part C in your outline there, part of fighting the good fight is to flee those things that destroy us. Of course, the hard part about this is we have to be honest with ourselves about the things that hold us back. And of course, one of the hardest parts of being honest with ourselves is sometimes it's the very people that we love the most that might be the ones holding us back the most. Now, do you mean you just run away, just forget about them? No. But you realize that before you can pursue some things, you have to let go of some things that hold you back. There may be some great friendships you've had for years, but those friends may lead you back into ways of your old self that destroy you. Come on, am I talking to anybody here? Not talking about family. I know we got to hang with family. We got to love them, believe me. But sometimes those old relationships, those old lives, the people we used to hang out with, they can drag us right down. We need to practice freedom sometimes with that. Now, Paul then goes back, and I had to go back and say, well, what are these? Paul says, flee all of these. Well, what are they? Well, you have to go back and look at the three paragraphs right before this section. And Paul talks about three issues, I believe, that are prevalent even in us today. I know you say, well, I'm not a preacher. He was talking to a preacher. No, 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 don't buy that. Are you a child of God? Are you representing Christ? You're a minister. You're a preacher. You have a testimony. You have a witness. People looking at your life. So these three things that he talks to Timothy about, I believe, are three challenges that I face, that you face, anybody who wants to be a witness for Christ is faced. Now the first one, I call this verse 3 through 5. I call this compromising truth. See, in the days of Timothy, or just like our day today, there are many who want to teach a false doctrine. They want to teach a false religion. He says, let me read this for you, verses 3 through 5. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy and strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. He says, flee from this, brother. You don't want to be these kind of people. Let me talk about this. Why would some of us compromise the truth? Why are we afraid to tell the truth? Why are we afraid to let people know the truth that is in us? Well, part A here, these people, he says, does not agree with Jesus' teaching and the godly teaching of others. If anyone teaches otherwise, in fact, that word teaches false doctrine literally means teaching another master. Teaching another master. You realize whatever you preach, you reveal what is your master. And you either have to, and me, I'm talking to me too. I don't want, when I say you, I'm talking to me. I'm looking at myself in the mirror here. Because the life that I live, the doctrine that I preach, represents who is the master of my life. And notice here it says they do not agree. They do not agree with the teaching of Jesus Christ or those godly teachers who lead to godliness here. That word does not agree means to come near or to be in alignment with. In other words, here's what I'm saying. The first step in much of our struggle is we don't respect the truth of who Christ, what Christ's words are and what godly teaching is. When we begin to submit ourselves and just say, you know, I hear what that says, but I think, but I want, but here's where I want to go. I mean, Dana said it so well. Someone told her, said, you know, it doesn't matter what you think. What does the word say, right? It comes back to, well, I appreciate what you think, but what does the word say? Because we have to respect the teachings of Jesus. And that's why I tell you, when I preach, I love to go back to the red letters. You know, of all the scripture, to me, the teaching of Jesus, the red letters have to be held up even higher than the others. I mean, I love Paul. I love the inspiration that God does. But Jesus is my ultimate authority. And so we compromise the truth when we begin to say, well, I don't really agree exactly with what Jesus is saying here or teaching this godly. They deny Jesus' words and doctrine that leads to godliness. I love this second one here too. Why else do people compromise the truth? Because they're conceited. The word conceited there, the word typhu, is a fantastic word. I mean, just imagine this word. Typhu means to be puffed up with smoke. I mean, it's like people who walk around with their chest puffed out, but it's not with anything important. It's just smoke. They just blow smoke. You know, they're just puffed up. Reminds me of a little puffer fish on, you know, somebody scares it, you know, just puffs up. They're conceited. And he goes on to say, because of this self-conceit, they think they're so smart. They think they have it all figured out. They think they have it all going. He said they lack understanding of spiritual things. They're conceited, and because of that, they can't understand anything. Friends, our own pride is our greatest enemy about understanding spiritual things. That's why humility over and over again is brought to the forefront of our character. If we want to know spiritual things, we have to humble ourselves and pray and seek His face. Another thing, reason why people deal with the truth there is, look next, he says, they have an unhealthy interest in controversy. You know what they're doing? With these people who, when we teach a false doctrine, we're trying to split people apart. We're trying to create clubs and groups. We're trying to divide people and say, now, you know, I believe over here. What do you believe over there? And notice it says here they have an unhealthy interest in these controversies and quarrels about words. See, the unhealthy interest in controversy and quarrels, this is basically a public opinion. I want you to like what I have to say. I want you to be in my team. I want you to be on my side. And really, friends, help me. Help me. Let's stay on Jesus' side, okay? And even if you and I don't agree on something, I hope you can come down and say, this is Jesus' side, not mine. And look at the results of this when you begin to compromise the truth. He used the word envy. Now, that's the word jealousy. Envy means jealousy. And when somebody lifts themselves up and says, you know, I got this figured out and I'm right about this, and it makes other people feel like, well, I wish I was like they are. It begins to stir up jealousy in them. The next word is strife. You know what that means? Arguments, fights. People say, no, 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 and they begin to build up strife. It begins to pull people apart. It begins to stir people up. The third thing it says is malicious talk, and that's where they begin to do personal attacks. You see, the jealousy builds up into strife, and then that people begin to lash out with their words upon each other. Come on, am I talking about politicians? Am I talking about church people? And then he says it ends up with evil suspicions, where people begin to suspect one another's motives. So what do you have into this? Why are you doing this? And then this last one really breaks my heart. Because see, ultimately, these people who compromise this, he says, in constant friction between people of corrupt minds who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. Ultimately, somehow we've compromised the truth because we feel like it will help us in the end. You say, well, I'm not trying to make money off of it. No, I know. But you know what I mean? You want to be liked. You want yourself to be better. You want to be in a better position, have more power. But these people even sought financial gain. They used the word, used the Bible, used the scripture, used godly teaching as a way to make money. I see that very prevalently in the world, don't you, today? Paul said, flee this stuff, Timothy. Don't allow yourself, Timothy, to get wrapped up in compromising this truth. Verse 6 through 8 is the second one, and this one's very big in our country. I love verse 6 here. You need to meditate on this sometime when you get a chance. He says, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. You see, A here, godliness with contentment equals great gain. Verse 6, wow. Godliness is that doctrine that teaches respect for God. He said, look, if you will seek out respect for God above all things, if you'll seek godliness, and that's going to be one of our wonderful pillars we're going to talk about in the next few weeks. I can't wait to get there. Down below here are six pillars that I want to challenge you and I to live toward. We're going to flee one thing, but we're going to run to something much better. Okay? He says, godliness, that doctrine that teaches respect for God. He said, if you do this with contentment, autarkia, self-satisfaction, a mind that's at peace with their basic needs. If you can get to the place to where you have a contentment about your life, he said, you will find great gain in it. And it doesn't mean great gain as in wealth and power. It means great gain in the value of your life. He doesn't mean if you are content that you will find great gain in that, but that through this valuing and having peace in whatever situation God has put us in, there's great gain there for your personal value of your life. This is what I mean. Coveting things are a struggle for every one of us. He makes the point here, part B, things are not eternal, are they? In fact, said, for we brought nothing into the world. How much did you bring in the world when you were born? How much are you going to take out of the world when you leave? You see, God gave us all we had when we came in the world. And we cannot take it with us. You know that. I think Mimi said that. How many times you said that to us, Mimi? Just remind us that, you know. We gotta use the resources God has given us. And we got to accept the resources God has given us. The more we have to have more things, the more we have to have coveting more things, the more we are filled with covetousness. You know, oftentimes I wonder where that last 10 commandment, you know what the number 10 commandment is? Thou shalt not covet, right? And I often wondered why that is so important until I began to think about this very thing right here. The more you need stuff, the more you continue to be discontented with your life and say, I need more, the more that's going to hold us back from fighting the good fight. In fact, part C on your outline says, contentment works by accepting the life God provides. Verse 8, he says, but if we have food and clothing, we should be content with that. You know, food and clothing are the basics. I know it just seems basic, but he says, you know what? We have enough. It's just our world and our media and our minds and our jealousy heart looks around and says, but I don't have as much as so-and-so does. And that's why we are so discontent. And I'm speaking to me as well as you. He said, if we just had food and clothing, we would be content with that. This is something I just want to challenge us all on, just to finding that place of contentment, to where things and money and the world are not satisfying enough, are not satisfying at all. This is one thing we have to flee. He said, flee this thing, Timothy. Flee this thing, Timothy. I have great plans for you. I believe that God has called you in a magnificent way. And I'm fixing to mention to you the six pillars that you need to go for. But if you don't flee these other things, you'll never be able to reach the six things I have for you. I don't believe we'll ever be able to reach the pinnacle that God has for us unless we're willing to let go of some of these things that hold us back. And then the third thing Paul talks about right here, you've heard this scripture so many times before, is verse 9 and 10. Consumed with money. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Now, verse 10 is many times misunderstood, right? For the love of money is the root of all evil, all kinds of evil. Does it say that the money is the root of all of it? What does it say? The love of this money is the roots of all kinds of different evils in our lives. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Let's talk about this real quick. People who want to get rich, this is one of those temptations that every one of us faces, especially in this country. He says, it's a trap. You're saying wealth is a trap? It can be. Our pursuit of wealth, our love for it. He goes on to say, this leads to foolish and harmful desires. The word actually is the word for lusts and cravings. A lust is that uncontrollable desire. You know, we have desires. They're normal. We're human beings. But when that uncontrollable lust for something becomes in control, it destroys. He says here, and it plunges them into two things. And I want you to see these words. The first one is the word ruin. It plunges them into ruin. Now that word is an earthly word. It's talking about in this life. Your overwhelming lust for power and wealth leads to destruction on this earth. But then he also goes on and says, and destruction, and that word is eternally. What? Are we saying that an unhealthy passion for wealth and money can destroy your faith in God? That's what he's saying here. Those who want to get rich fall into a great temptation. Fall into it. And this trap gets them, and they find themselves in the midst of lust and cravings. And those lust and those cravings, they lure them in, and they plunge them into ruin on this world. And many of them lose their eternal destiny, too, because of that pursuit. That's true, isn't it? I know we live in a world where we need money. I know that. That's exactly why tithing is so important. Because we come to God and we say, Lord, we trust you with your money. This is your money. Lord, relieve me of this burden to have to hold on to it and to love it. Because part B should just scare us to the depths. He said the root, the source of many evils is that love of money. Now, we talked about a lot of different loves here in the scripture, but this is a new one. The word love here is a combination of the word phila, which is love, plus argyros, which is silver. A love of silver. And you know, this love of money is really the idea of being obsessed with developing wealth, taking care of your future, taking care of yourself, needing more. And you've heard of the gold rush, right? You've heard of the madness that comes when people start finding gold in the ground. What happens to them, man? They just start getting more and more, and they just go home at night, and it just in their minds they just think about tomorrow. I can't wait to go back and find some more gold. And they just get obsessed and overwhelmed with the love of this mineral. We can find ourselves in the same boat here in cash and wealth. And he says here, some people eager for this money have wandered from the faith. Actually, the word for wandered there means has been deceived in their faith. Because you know what? You and I are going to put our faith in somewhere, aren't we? We're going to put it in God. We're going to put it in money. We're going to put it in the world. We're going to put it in our family. We're going to put it in our job. And you know what? I just will tell you, if you haven't figured this out yet, Robert, I'm sure could tell you, one of our veterans of the faith here, all those things will fail you. All of them will. And when you sell out to one of these things that you think will give you a life and a hope in a future, none of them will they? And that's what happens is people wandered away. It wasn't like they came and said, yeah, I want to give up my faith today. Yeah, I want to follow this falseness over here. But they just get lured away by this. Someone says, hey, there's money here. There's a better life here. You can have more here. And we just slowly wander away and get deceived by a different faith than the faith in God. Or discontent, you know, or discontented in there, and we've already said, well, I don't know if I agree with what Jesus said about this. So I've already watered down my faith a bit, and now I've been discontented because I don't have all the stuff I need. And then someone says, hey, over here, there's more. We find ourselves wandering away, sold out to that thing that we think is going to help us, only to find so often. And then he ends with this, and we're going to end right here. He said, they've wandered from the faith, and they've pierced themselves with many griefs. The word griefs there means overwhelming sorrows. It doesn't mean just little problems. See, a lifestyle of someone who's wandered away and been consumed by money, you know what they find? It's just more and more piercings. And it's something they've done to themselves. We all look back in our lives and realize, wow, we've done this to ourselves, haven't we? I always love to share with you my heroes. I have another hero for you today as we finish up this message today. Anybody ever heard of a lady named Mother Teresa? Anybody ever heard of her? Small little lady. Born in 1910, Albanian parents. And she started a whole missionary organization. And all they did was take care of dying people. She would go down the streets of India and find people that are dying on the street, and she would just take them inside and wash their face and hold their hand and let them die in grace. And one day, she had a guest there from Chicago, and he was going through this, and he says to her, well, let's build this. Let's do this. Let's build this building, and let's bring these people in. Let's put them in beds, and let's put hot water in there, and let's make them happy. Let's make them healthy. Let's build everything up. Let's spend a lot of money. We can really solve this problem. And she just said, sir. And he said, woman, you're not being successful. These people are still dying in basic needs. And she said to him, and she says to us today, God never called me to be successful. He called me to be faithful. In fact, she said, these people don't need all your money. They need someone with a hand, someone with a rag, someone with a heart, who's willing to come day in and day out and fight the good fight every single day. It's easy to go once, isn't it? It's hard to go back the second time. And she went year after year after year after year. That, to me, is a hero. She understood what it meant to fight the good fight. I'm sure there were some days she got up in the morning saying, I don't feel like going out there on the street today. I'm just sick and tired of all this. But there was something, a fire inside of her, I believe was the Holy Spirit, that just brought her back out every day. Friend, that is what I want us to do this year, to persevere in doing good. Don't grow weary in doing good. For in due time, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. You have to fight the good fight, and to fight the good fight, first, you have to flee some things that are controlling you and me. Can Can you do you compromise the truth? Are you able to be honest with yourself? We need to be honest with ourselves of the things that we're compromising about what Jesus says. It's so easy to do that. Are you coveting things? Have you somehow decided you got to have more than you what you have now? Do you need more stuff? Do you need more things? Those things can just smother and destroy, can't they? Come on, am I talking to you? How many storage buildings do we have to have? I wonder sometimes about myself, how much more stuff, right? And then you consume with money. Maybe that's your challenge this year. Maybe this year you say, you know what, I want to live on less. All I need is what God provides for me. I don't need any more. And the rest I want to give to serve Him somewhere, somehow. I guarantee you that contentment will bring you much more gain than all the wealth on this world. Lord God, as we come to this, your altar, I pray, Father, that you'd give us some freedom. Help us know what to flee, to let go of that holds us back. We look forward to the six pillars we're going to be working toward over the next couple of weeks, but today I want to concentrate on what is it that's holding me back this year. As we stand on the beginning of a year of potential, Lord, what's holding us back from being all that you want us to be? Begin the process today, because we are a new creation in Christ. The past has been forgiven. We have new hope and new future. The plan that you have for us, Lord, but it has to begin today. Holy Spirit, move amongst us here.